You're listening to the No BS Nutrition Podcast. I'm registered dietitian Hannah McGee.
And I'm neuroscience PhD student Tariq Youssef. And for the next hour, we're going to tackle popular nutrition topics from a scientific lens, promoting fact over fiction with no BS. Hello, it's episode 2 of season 3.
It sure is. Welcome
and
back.
I think we're going to be a little bit more caught up. This is what I want people to know, okay?
Okay.
This is what I want. Citizens of Canada, you know what? Even all of North America, South America, Asia, Europe, Africa, Australia.
We've got listeners all over the world.
Antarctica even.
Yep.
That it's November right now.
Mm-hmm.
The election's over. And everyone was kind of like really tuned in. And now, after it's over, everyone's just kind of like, okay, on to the next thing, because 2020 sucks. So, that you know,
mm-hmm.
I, you would think like, Biden got elected. We're all going to relax now. No.
Yeah.
The year's
no.
Still really awful.
Still shit. Yeah, I feel that. But at least it's one less. Like, it's just, it's one
exactly.
thing that we can kind of take a little exhale about, and then we move on to worrying about everything else that's going on in the world.
Exactly. Feels weird. Holiday season plus, at least for us here, and then everyone's worried about the vaccine and lockdown, and some places aren't locking down, and so they should be.
Yeah.
But we're all trying our best.
Mm-hmm. We're trying our best. We're doing our best. You're right.
We're trying our best. We're bringing holiday spirit and joy directly to you.
Yeah, you guys, we're recording, it's November, but when you hear us, it's December. It's Christmas. It's joy.
Oh my gosh. Oh, burr. Oh my gosh. So, oh, it's so cold. Oh, pass me the hot chocolate, please.
You know what you just reminded me of on The Office when it's like snowing outside and Jim's like, oh, look, it's snowing. And Dwight's like, oh, Jim, like, he's like, what is he doing? Like,
oh, yeah, he, like, totally patronizes
he's
like, him. Like, oh, how beautiful, so exciting.
Yeah, he's like, don't you wish you just had a cup of hot chocolate? And, like,
yeah.
I was like, that's what it reminded
yeah,
me
yeah.
of.
I love that. Okay, I'm very excited. This season's going to be, I mean, we recorded episode 1 a while back, so this is kind of, this feels like episode 1 to me, even though it's episode 2. And I guess I just wanted to
yeah.
say, like, Hannah and I are really excited about this season because we are trying to make it a little bit different, a little bit more exciting, maybe a little bit more topical, you know, stay current so
relevant.
That we're talking about the things that people care about.
Totally. Totally.
Not that people shouldn't care about why you don't have a dairy allergy, but maybe it's not really in the news right now.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I think we're we want to talk about things that are like you're seeing, you know, on your social media feeds or on the news or whatever right now or in, you know, the last couple months or whatever.
Call into the show. Tell us what you want to hear about. Call into the show. And I would also put out a PSA to children of media moguls, CEOs. If you're a CEO yourself, if you're an industry leader, you're a Silicon Valley investor, even, I would say, and you listen to this podcast, you're a huge fan, I would say, drop us a line. I would say, contact us. I would say, give us a bunch of money and we can keep making really awesome content. Okay. With that being said, Hannah, I do want you to ask me a question.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Is that how we do this?
I know. We really have to get better at doing this more naturally so that the person doing the BS of the week doesn't have to remind the other person to prompt them. But anyways,
yeah.
Tariq, do you have a BS of the week for me? What BS did you hear this week?
That's so weird. Actually, like really randomly, not even prepared, I kind of do have one.
Oh my God.
I will say this is kind of a cop-out BS of the week because I'm double dipping. But
right.
I think it's relevant because people keep bringing this stuff up, which has no basis in any science
right.
at all.
Right.
So this week, aka whatever, 5 weeks ago when you're listening to this, I have been doing an Instagram takeover for the Royal
yeah.
Canadian Institute of Science and talking about blue light blocking glasses and blue light in general. And It turns out beyond all of the hubbub about blue light blocking glasses helping with sleep, which it's very hard to say that they do. There's no evidence that really backs it up. Some people purport that blue light exposure leads to diabetes, it leads to heart disease. There's all these correlations based on nothing that people are drawing. Okay.
No way.
So, yeah, and the thing that people are saying, and Hannah, obviously, you know a bunch about this, is that they're saying that blue light, which if people are not aware, blue light is just like other light. Maybe more predominantly, blue light does regulate our sleep-wake cycle.
Right.
So when we see blue light, we feel more alert because blue light signals to the brain's clock. And actually, you might think of blue light as literally blue, but that blue light wavelength is present in natural sunlight, in white light, mm-hmm. for example. So it's all over the place. And that's why, you know, anecdotally, but also maybe in the past, but now with more emerging evidence, it's becoming more clear that we do need blue light or white light, which contains blue light, in the morning, because it does signal our alertness.
Okay.
And there's all this fear around, obviously, using devices at night because they emit a lot of light. Also, they emit a lot of blue light, which is probably going to induce kind of a phase shift in our sleep-wake cycle, which is going to induce bad sleep patterns.
Right.
That's all true. I mean, that's all true.
Totally.
The thing is that blue light blocking glasses, though they do block blue light, which is an important part of that process, they don't block other light, and other light also influences our sleep-wake cycle. And even beyond light itself, just staying up late at night is going to influence your sleep-wake cycle.
Of course.
Even if you wear blue light blocking glasses.
Of course that disrupts your sleep-wake cycle. You're staying the fuck awake.
Yeah, but people think that blue light blocking glasses are like going to fix all of this stuff.
And no, I know.
Like, it's so obvious when looking at the data that there just isn't evidence for
right.
it. And probably because the system's so complicated.
Right.
Not that... That's the tough part is like a bunch of other BS's of the week or a bunch of other pseudoscience that we've talked about, there's always this like link that seems like really rational. Like, mm-hmm. of course, blue light is involved in setting our sleep-wake cycle, so let's block it and we'll have better sleep.
Right.
But it's just more complicated than that. Anyway, so there's all of this. So aside from sleep, there's all of this stuff about blue light inducing diabetes, like I was saying, cardiovascular disease. People say blue light leads to obesity, which... these are some real big stretches.
Right.
Right. Okay. So something that has been seen in the literature is that blue light can induce glucose spikes in, you know, laboratory animals. Not in humans, but in laboratory animals. So in some of these studies, like these studies on rodents, whatever. That
are not humans.
Kind of small. Yeah, not human. All of this gets extrapolated and then it just... you know, snowballs and people start linking it to
right.
human stuff, which doesn't actually exist. So there's actually a Harvard Health article about this, which it's one of my less favorite Harvard Health articles because they're a little bit too, central. They're not like siding so much.
Oh my god, I have a beef with Harvard Health about that. I find that I have found some of their articles that are like that, like certain diets or things like that. Yeah, they won't take a strong opinion. They just kind of like float in the middle and don't say it's like good or bad or like you should do, even if it's like keto or something, like a really restrictive diet. Like they're just kind of like, like it could
just
work.
Say it doesn't work. Yeah, just like, say there's no
just
evidence
say
for
it.
Like,
yeah,
whatever. Yeah.
I know.
So they have this article about called "Blue Light Has a Dark Side," which I will link in the show notes. And they say in one study, researchers put 10 people on a schedule that gradually shifted the timing of their circadian rhythms. Okay, which means that they probably gave them different light exposures at different times of the day.
Okay.
Their blood sugar levels increased, throwing them into a pre-diabetic state. And levels of leptin, a hormone that leaves people feeling full after a meal, went down.
Okay.
So there's like this one study that sees this like circadian rhythm shift to be related to, I guess, blood sugar increases. Yeah. And they're linking that all to blue light. Rather than saying that light keeps you awake, and let's say if you're awake and you end up being like more sleepy, I think there is evidence to show that people seek carbohydrates more if they aren't sleeping well.
Yeah,
right,
yeah, Hannah? Yep, you're right.
Yeah. So rather than saying it's like a sleep problem that has to do with forcing people to stay up because they're exposed to light, whether it's blue or not, mm-hmm. they're for some reason talking about blue light specifically. So this goes, like, all kinds of people link it to obesity. I've been getting these questions during the takeover this week so far, people talking about diabetes, obesity, and me being like, well, there's just no evidence for it. And all this stuff is correlational. If any of it is even true, it's probably due to these other factors like we're talking about.
Right. What we're saying, let's talk this out. Like these links to like cardiovascular disease or diabetes are more likely related to, and I want you to clarify this, to like poor sleep, you know.
Yeah, or like other factors. Like,
right.
There's so many other things that go into dictating that stuff. Like,
yeah,
whatever, like whatever resources you have, the exercise you're
right.
You're
there's other variables
about during your day. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's so many things that can result in something which is so, can be so variable, like a blood sugar spike.
Yeah.
Which is like just taken on like one day of an experiment.
Right.
I don't know if that's like extremely meaningful.
Yeah, totally. I agree.
And to relate it specifically to one variable like blue light.
Right.
It seems to me is a bit of a stretch. I think there's like this problem maybe in the research where it's like a vision people versus, let's say, like sleep research people. They have different biases. So
okay.
Sleep people would be like, melanopsin, which is the blue light sensitive protein, detects blue light, and that means that when you have too much blue light, because melanopsin information goes to your brain's clock, then your sleep will mess up when you have blue light. But I think vision people would more likely say, yeah, blue light affects your sleep-wake cycle, but so does all light, because vision is complicated,
right,
and there's so many other variables. So I don't know if that's the problem, is like there's this, I don't know, like, I don't know if it's like a line in the sand or like a different way of thinking between different kinds of researchers. Like, they're looking at the same problem from like completely different angles.
Right.
And just answering it in different ways. And that's, I don't know, it leads people to be fearful of the wrong thing. And it also feels some people are like, why do you care? Like, blue light blocking glasses cost like $7, like whatever, mm-hmm, who cares? Mm-hmm. But I don't, for me, it's not about that. It's about the fact that why would we just like blindly follow someone saying something without, you know, following up on whether or not there's actually something to back it up?
Yeah, that is the question.
Yeah.
I think that's like the entire, like.
And that's the podcast. Exactly. Last episode. Thanks, everyone.
That's like that is the overarching question of everything we talk about, is like, you know, there's all of these trends and these fads and things that people are claiming are like changing their lives or changing their sleep, and we're just so quick to like hop on and believe you know, the influencer that we follow or whatever, without double checking or looking into it. And I think even when we do look into it, though, it is hard to find the right answers, and I guess that's why
also
we're here.
And people go and then people go into like, well, like, got blue light blocking glasses wanting to like lose weight or something. Like, that just like makes no sense, and there's no evidence for that, right?
So none, no.
It's a snowball effect in the worst possible way. Like, I guess that's why this matters, is like these tiny pseudoscience things can like grow and become way bigger than like what was initially intended, right?
Right.
Anyway, that's the BS of the week. And yeah, that's it. And I'm actually really...
Oh, sorry. Yeah, can you just summarize that? Do like 30 seconds and just like do a little conclusion. Yeah.
So basically, people should take away that blue light is important for setting their sleep-wake cycle, but other light contributes to setting our sleep-wake cycle as well.
Yes.
And staying up late, being exposed to light, regardless of the color or the wavelength, is going to affect your sleep. Blocking blue light only has not been shown to be effective in helping with sleep, and exposure to blue light has not been linked to diabetes or cardiovascular disease or like weight gain. There are other variables that might result in these things that maybe are like really tangentially related to behavioral habits, like staying up late in general. And I don't know.
Exactly.
But it doesn't have to do specifically with the fact that blue light blocking glasses are going to help you not get heart disease.
Like, I think, you know, there's probably some other things in your life that you can address before you buy the blue light glasses. If you, if you're looking to reduce your risk for heart disease or diabetes.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. Well, thank you. You know what? That was awesome, because I think a lot of people needed to hear that. And a lot of people don't know, because blue light glasses are so, like, there's so much hype around them these days, and everyone's everyone's buying them, everyone's using them, and like swearing by them, not just using them, but like swearing by them, that people need to know the truth.
Here's the thing, like, if are there maybe people who are super sensitive to blue light, who suffer from migraines, who maybe have like a sleep-wake disorder that might benefit from blue light? I don't know. And honestly, like, there's, the science isn't there yet either.
Yeah.
But regardless of whatever decision you make in these kinds of things, maybe like a $7 decision isn't like the worst one of your life, but
right, I
think any healthcare decision is something that you should talk to like clinician about.
Yeah.
Like, if you're gonna drastically change your diet, talk to a dietitian. If you are worried about your sleep or your vision health, talk to a doctor or get referred to an ophthalmologist.
Yeah, like an appropriate specialist. Yeah, I totally agree. Again, like, it's not the worst thing in the world. If you want to, it's not going to harm you wearing blue light glasses. Right. So, like, yeah, if you spent the $7 or whatever.
Although I would say don't wear them in the morning if you have them.
Right, because
if anything, it's just going to make you sleepy, drowsier.
So interesting. Because
blue light is really important for alertness.
Right. Huh.
Yeah.
So don't wear them in the morning.
Even that, I feel weird saying. Blue light contributes to alertness. That's like how I get out of like making any official statement.
Yeah.
Oh, oh my God, I'm being Harvard Health. I'm being Harvard Health. Blue light contributes to alertness.
Yeah, I do that too. Okay. Well, yeah, thank you. That was super interesting. Yeah, I've been really interested following along with your, I mean, by the time this comes out, it will be over, but your takeover this week. And I had some people, when I shared about it on my Instagram, like, respond to me and say like, oh, this is so cool, like, I'm so interested to see what he says.
You're so sweet.
Yeah,
thank you, Han.
Oh, of course. Okay, so moving on to the main topic of this episode for this week.
I'm really excited.
I'm excited to talk about this.
I didn't think I'd be this excited about
it. Really, like, you're fired up?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I actually am.
Okay, good. We're gonna talk about a diet, or it's more of a program than a diet.
It's more of like a lifestyle, actually.
Oh, fuck. But we're going to review it nonetheless. So this program, you may have heard of it. It's called 75 Hard. So before we talked about doing this episode and reviewing this lifestyle, had you heard of 75 Hard before, Tarek?
No, but no. I live under a rock.
Yeah, so you live under
a rock. It's really popular now that
I know. It is. And you know what? Okay, I have to say this. The first time I heard about 75 Hard was in the spring, and it was on the app that I talk about all the freaking time.
Queen of TikTok, speaking to us now.
On TikTok. Honestly, you guys, TikTok should be like paying me for the amount that I talk about.
I agree. TikTok should be paying us
for the amount that I talk about it on this podcast.
Everyone tweet TikTok.
Yeah. But I actually don't, like, I don't spend that much time on TikTok. I know it sounds like I do because I talk about TikTok every time.
I have many friends who tell me they love your TikToks, by the
way. Oh, thank
you. For the people listening, Hannah,
I'm sure they're friends of the pod too.
Friends of the pod. Shout out.
So I think, yeah, like I said, I heard about 75 Hard back in the springtime, and that was obviously like quarantine time, so I probably was actually spending a lot more time on TikTok than usual. But when I first found out about 75 Hard, it was through like a TikTok video, and it came up on my feed, and it was this girl saying that she was going to try this program or this diet called 75 Hard, and I had never heard of it before. So I clicked on her profile, and basically this girl was like documenting her entire experience with the plan or the program. And so in all of her like TikTok videos, it was like she was doing like each day of like 75 hard, which we'll talk about, but you can probably tell from just talking about it, it's 75 days.
I'm so excited.
I'm excited. Yeah. So I guess, do you want me to just like share a little bit about what it is?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or like where it came from. Did you look into that?
I did. And okay. I don't know if we're going to lose followers right now, but this feels very like Joe Rogan vibes.
Yes, those are the vibes I got too.
You know what I mean?
But like, yeah, yes and no. Like, okay, so
if there's a Venn diagram out there of people who listen to Joe Rogan, which I know the circle is much bigger than ours, but yeah, people who listen to Joe Rogan, I don't think it overlaps with the people who listen to No BS Nutrition.
Probably not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so 75 Hard, which I actually didn't know who or like the history of it, who it was created by until...
I will say, if you love Joe Rogan, I'm very excited that you're here. That's really cool.
Absolutely. So 75 Hard was created by this guy named Andy Frizzella. I don't know if I'm saying that right. But so Andy is a motivational speaker, an author, an entrepreneur. He has a podcast too. Oh, and
everyone has a podcast.
I know. Okay, wait though. He also has a supplement company.
Okay.
So
cha-ching, cha-ching.
Yeah, exactly. So the vibe that I got from his website and like his brand from what I looked at when I was researching this, was like that he's all about like being tough, and like honestly I was like super intimidated by his website. Like it was like
his website's like it's all white and there's just like text.
Okay, well that's the 75 Hard page, but then his like main website homepage, he's like just like all the pictures are him like this huge like man with his arms crossed, like looking really serious, tattoos everywhere, like giant biceps, super intimidating, like not a smile on his face, like this man looks pissed.
Well, he's a man, Hannah.
He's a man.
So why would he smile?
Totally. Right, okay. Right. You're right. Yeah. What am I thinking? Okay. So, yeah. So like you said, then on the 75 Hard page, it's just like all white with like a bunch of, like basically a huge motivational speech, but also like the logo for 75 Hard is like a big giant skull. So I was like, what is going on here?
I was demotivated by the page, just so he knows if you're listening.
I love it. Okay. So he claims, Andy Frizzella says on his 75 Hard page on his website that 75 Hard is a transformative mental toughness program.
I'm sorry, for people listening, that silent sound was my eyes truly leaving my head, not even rolling to the back of my head. They left
your body. Yeah, so he specifically says on his site, it is not a fitness program. It is a mental toughness program. However, there is a disclaimer at the top of the page encouraging you to consult your doctor before starting it. So it's not a fitness thing, but talk to your doctor first. And he also says it's an Iron Man for your brain, if you will.
I love that he knows so much about the brain. You know what I mean? I really love that in a guy when they're really obsessed with neuroscience.
Okay, so yeah, the page is like basically one big motivational speech, and you know what? Like, no judgment because like honestly, I eat that shit up. Like motivational.
Andy, friend of the pod, come on, hun.
Like, I honestly am like a sucker for motivational self help stuff.
Was that good for you?
No, it wasn't good, but I'm just saying, if you were to read it and you felt a little bit inspired, like I'm not judging you because I eat that stuff up. So.
Okay.
But what I also wanted to say is about motivational stuff.
To me, it's like live, laugh, love. You know what I mean? When I read motivational stuff, I'm like, put it on like a...
No, like I love poster. That stuff. But I do always take it with a grain of salt because...
Yeah, yeah.
What I've learned over the years is most of these motivational, like, manifestation, you can do anything people are yes. just trying to sell you shit. Like, they just, totally. They're just trying to make millions.
And they're so privileged. Yeah. I mean, like, absolutely. Yeah, they can be anyway. And they're just trying to sell you stuff.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, on his 75 hard page, Andy, like, makes sure, like, every couple sentences to say, like, you do not have to make a payment. Like, this isn't something you have to pay for. This isn't something you have to put your credit card information down for. But when you, actually, no, you don't even get to find out what 75 hard is. And this is why you guys haven't even found out what it is yet. Because to access like these steps or like what the program actually is, you have to like click sign me up, and then you basically have to obviously sign up for his email like list or whatever so that he sends you emails.
I mean, it's genius because we're all talking about it.
Exactly. So I read an article about that and it said exactly that, but we'll get to that in a sec. Anyway, so I really want to tell you guys what this thing is, but I need to just kind of set the stage. Like I said, it doesn't tell you what 75 hard is until you click sign me up, and then he'll send you an email. So he's got your email. He can contact you whenever from here on out, unless you unsubscribe. And then after you hit sign me up, it takes you to a page telling you that this is literally what it says. All right. Like, thanks for signing up. You'll get an email shortly, but first follow these steps. Step one, listen to his podcast. Step two, buy his 75 hard book. And step...
Oh, that's a step?
Yep. And step three, get his 75 hard app.
Wow.
So he's like, yeah, you don't have to make a payment. Don't blah, 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 blah. And then like literally before you even get an email, he's telling you to like buy all his shit. So anyways,
my middle name is unsubscribe. If I saw that, it would be deleted immediately.
So I just wanted to like set that stage. And now we can... talk about what is 75 hard.
I was thinking, do you want to just like go through them all and then we can kind of
do it.
Like initial thoughts and then we can keep talking about
absolutely.
I might have a different they're all like kind of different because they're not directly from him, at least the ones that I saw on the internet, but do you want me to read mine, the one that I saw?
Yeah, so I guess first off, in case you haven't clued in already, 75 hard is a 75 day challenge or program.
Yeah,
75 days long.
Exactly.
Okay, go.
Some of the stuff that I'll be talking about is from a really awesome Cosmopolitan article written by Taylor Andrews.
I love that. I read that too. Yeah.
Did you? It was so good. Yeah. I'm so excited. Here is what Taylor broke down in terms of what 75 hard is, and then we'll keep talking about other stuff. Okay. So the basic principles are: one, follow a diet. Okay. Workout two is workout twice a week for at least 45 minutes, and one of the workouts has to be outdoors. Oh, and sorry, I should have included with follow a diet, no cheat meals, and no alcohol.
Hi guys, Hannah here. I am just editing the episode, and I wanted to provide a quick correction to what Tarek just said. So he mentioned that the rules are to work out two times a week. He actually meant that the rules of 75 hard require you to work out two times a day for at least 45 minutes each workout, and one of them has to be outside. So in case you were going, oh, two workouts a week, that doesn't sound so bad. No, it's two times a day, which makes it quite a lot more intense. Anyways, back to the episode.
And then three, drink 4 liters of water a day. Oh my, I'm so excited to talk about this. Four, read 10 pages of nonfiction a day. Five, take a 5-minute cold shower. Six, take progress photos every day. And seven, perform something like a random act of kindness or talk to like a friend.
Okay. Is that's all of them?
I'm unbelievably excited to talk about this.
So should we work through them like step by step?
Yeah, okay. Totally.
Okay. So obviously let's start with you must follow a diet.
I just feel like everyone knows how we feel about this already.
Yeah, totally. I mean, well, the first issue for me with that one is, like, what the hell? That's so ambiguous. That's so subjective. Like, you must follow a diet. There's no guidance. There's no guideline, which is just setting people up for almost even like something dangerous. But like, so it's really up for interpretation what a diet is and like what one you want to follow. So from what I understood and like what I saw on social media of people participating in 75 Hard is like some people did like a vegan diet or even just like a vegetarian diet, or some people went gluten-free, or but then other people like did keto or intermittent fasting, or then other people would just like count calories or count macros. So it was really like up for interpretation what the diet was. There was no real guidance. And then the fact that it's like no cheat days, again, super ambiguous, like what, there's no definition of a cheat day. So
also I hate that phrase. I hate that phrase. Yeah. I hate cheat day.
Yeah. What does that even,
it's not cheating. Just eat what you,
I know. Want, I feel in a
healthy
you.
Way. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. It's complicated.
No, I totally feel that. And it also says, I don't know if you saw this, but it says if you like slip up or mess up even like a little bit, you have to start. So say you have to start again at day one.
Yeah.
So if you're at like day 60 and you eat like a Skittle, then you have to go all the way back to day one.
Right.
So,
which I feel for those people.
So it's like you failed if you ate a Skittle or like a freaking piece of chocolate. Exactly.
The 90 minute a day exercise thing is, I mean, so obviously, not only is it like not necessarily feasible for people to do that, but it's, and Taylor talks about this further in the article, but immediately after reading it, I was like, this sounds like people are going to be injuring themselves.
Right. That's the first thing.
Working out for 90 minutes a day.
Yeah. That's the first thing that came to my mind is like, for not even just 90 minutes a day, but for 75 days straight with no breaks or no rest days.
Exactly.
So it's just like, that is literally a recipe for an injury.
I hope your diet is you're eating like an Olympian.
Right. And yeah, exactly. Like athletes don't even do that. They don't even train two times per day for 45 minutes each with no rest days, no recovery, no nothing in between. Like that's not a thing. And I get like he says on the website, like if you're tired one day or if like you're a beginner, like work with workouts, like, you know, your workouts can just be walking. But still, like that is, for someone who is not used to like going from zero to having to do 90 minutes a day, that's a lot. And that's still hard on your body. And it's gonna like, it doesn't allow people to like work up to something. Like usually, you know, when you're building habits or you're making lifestyle changes, you're, well, at least like from, you know, in my opinion, you should take like small steps one at a time. Because if you try to like overhaul your entire life all at once, it's not gonna last. It's not gonna stick because you're trying
to. And if you feel like you didn't accomplish what you wanted and you feel like you failed.
Exactly.
It's like a really bad vicious cycle of like negative
energy. You feel shitty about yourself. You have to start all over again. And eventually having to start all over again from scratch, the minute you make one mistake or whatever, quote unquote mistake, that can be so like, it'll just push you away from actual healthy, sustainable habits. And then another thing about the exercise is that it just has like such potential to become so like boring and turn you off from exercise and like become monotonous. Sure. Because it's like, okay, today I have to work out for 90 minutes again. Like it's, you know, like you have no freedom to like say, oh, today I'm just feeling a 15 minute workout, or like actually today I do feel like running longer or whatever. Like there's no room for that. It's literally so regimented.
I'd also throw in that it's very ableist. Not literally. Yep. Some people are literally not going to be able to do that. And you just like make people feel bad about themselves because they can't work out every single day.
Or they can't like
90 minutes.
Or they can't work out outside. Like, they, sure, you know what exactly. I mean? They don't live in a safe place. So they can't like just spend 45 minutes outside.
Mentally tough.
Right. Exactly. I totally agree with you.
I don't like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then I think this was mentioned in the Cosmo article as well, is that not only is it like a, you know, something that could be potentially dangerous or like a risk for injury, but it's especially a risk as even though Andy claims that this isn't like a fitness or weight loss thing, I would bet you that like...
Already two of the things are
right.
fitness and weight loss.
So I feel like the majority of people that are doing this see this as a weight loss challenge. Even if he's saying it's not one, the transformation photos and sticking to a diet and things like that.
I was going to say, if we can go out of order, like the fact that you have to take progress photos every day, what an incredible emphasis on body image.
Exactly.
Why else would you take progress photos?
Yeah.
Other than to look at your body.
Exactly.
Unless you're not taking MRIs of your mental toughness.
Yeah, exactly.
So what is a progress photo?
And like, this is the funny thing is that in, in like body image work or like when you're trying to improve your body image, a lot of it isn't, it's not focused on like staring at your body and like loving everything you see and things like that. It's about like taking the emphasis off of your body and like
body neutrality.
Yeah. And like recognizing that your body isn't like the way your body looks isn't like the most important thing, or it's not like a defining factor in your worth as a human being and things like that. That's actually what like developing better body images. So this is like, and there's actually studies out there that have shown that like FITSPO or like basically like, you know, images of like fit people and being exposed to those things actually has more negative impacts on our health our body image than positive.
Because I'm going to be talking about one of those studies.
I love it. Yay. Yeah. So exactly. I mean, I thought this challenge was about mental toughness, but now we're taking daily photos of our bodies. That's just, again, a recipe for like, if you're not seeing changes or you're not seeing what you want to see, it's a recipe for poor body image and potential like disordered habits down the line.
Or if you're seeing the changes, then you're just valuing you're valuing thinness over
exactly
whatever your anything body else. Was. Like you're constantly comparing yourself.
Yeah, and literally every single day.
And you're striving for one thing over another.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. So I don't like that one at all.
I don't like any of them.
I know. Well, you know what? Actually, the one about...
Oh, reading.
Like reading 10 pages of a book or a nonfiction book. Like whatever. That's fine.
Whatever.
I think a lot of us could benefit from, you know, getting off of our phones and maybe doing some more reading or something like that.
I read nonfiction every day for school. It's not all that cracked up to be. It's not all it's cracked up to be.
Well, I feel like he means nonfiction like... self-help books.
No, I know. Oh, self-help books.
Well, probably.
Oh, not like, even just nonfiction in general.
Okay. Like, he probably just means, like, not a novel, you know? Like, he wants
read
you to...
read his book every
exactly,
day.
Exactly. Okay, so that one we don't really have a huge beef with. Take a 5-minute cold shower every day. I mean, again, okay, sure. I don't know what the... I'm not going to pretend to. I don't know, like, what the... research looks like on...
I can talk about
okay.
this.
Go for it.
So, I mean, it's kind of straightforward. Everyone would know this. I think the Venn
except
diagram...
Me.
No, you're in the Venn diagram. Okay, okay. The Venn diagram of people who would know this and people who listen to the podcast is very overlapping.
Okay.
What does steam and hot water do to our pores?
It opens them up.
Yeah, exactly. It opens them up. So hot water is going to open your pores... And, you know, the soap or whatever is very likely to get a lot of germs and muck out of our pores when we use hot water, right? When we, it's also going to strip oils and things like that, which maybe are like kind of healthy things that we have on our skin. When you shower with cold water keeps your pores closed or actually closes your pores. So you're not getting the necessarily like a lot of the stuff that's in your pores out if you do have a lot of stuff in your pores, but you are also like are less likely to strip yourself of oils, which is like not a bad thing. So there's really like no argument for one shower over another in terms of like cleanliness anyway.
Okay, that is very helpful, but that is not what I meant at all.
Oh, sorry.
No. It's okay. No.
No, I just feel like I mansplained.
No, you did not at all. No, God, stop. No, you didn't. I didn't know those things either. I knew a couple of those things, but I didn't know all of that.
Okay.
What I meant is like, and maybe again, this is because you live under a rock.
I do.
But like, there's this, from what I've seen, like people that I know or like influencers like talk about taking cold showers and like that being like almost like a wellness practice or like a self-improvement practice.
I guess maybe you could claim it's like meditative. I mean, you can make anything meditation if you want it to be.
It could be that. It also, though, now that I'm thinking about it and sitting here, could very well just be like a mental toughness thing. Like because it's a cold shower, like having to do it for 5 minutes and like withstand the cold.
I mean, congratulations. I don't know what to tell people.
So I think that's probably what it is. But anyways,
I hope they don't, I hope they're not on a high horse about it.
I'm going to take my warm shower in the morning. Thank you.
Yeah, shower cold if you want, whatever.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily... It doesn't make you a better person.
Right. Yeah, no, I was just, like, curious because I didn't know if there was actually any, like, evidence pointing towards, like, some sort of health benefit of taking cold showers versus hot showers.
I'd say probably not, but please DM us if
I'm wrong. We would actually love to know. All right, and then I think we're on to the last one, which is just, like, perform random tasks, like...
Oh, there's another one before
that. Oh, what
did
I miss?
Drink 4 liters of water
a day. Oh, my God, how did I miss that? Okay. Yeah.
What does that make you think of?
You're putting me on the spot.
It makes me think, good luck going to the bathroom 12 times a day.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it makes me think.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Good fucking luck going to the bathroom 12 times a day.
Yeah, you know what? This 1 gallon of water thing, or 4 liters, that's the same thing, right? That is so stupid. Let's just put it that it's stupid. We all have different fluid needs. We're not all the exact same size, height, weight, sex. We don't all have the same activity levels. Like, we all have different fluid needs. So why would he think that we all need to drink the same amount of water every day? That's my number one thing.
This is the thing, is like, he's like marketing this as like, I finally found the one size fits all lifestyle that's going to make you, let's face it, like, snatched and like feel amazing about yourself.
Yeah.
But there is no one size fits all anything about diet
health
or exercise
or
mental toughness. Do a Sudoku. That's there you go.
I love
mental
it.
Toughness. Do the crossword every morning.
Yeah. Like I think that this one,
it's not, this is not going to keep Alzheimer's away. Like, I don't know what people think this is going to, I mean, sure.
No, I think it comes back to like a weight loss thing again.
Yeah.
Because it's always a huge, like, that's a big weight loss thing, is like drinking a ton of water.
Calorie restricting yourself.
Right. Like
exercising until you're puking.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, like you said, there's no one size fits all for our unique needs. Two, that's just a lot of fucking fluid. And that could be, you know, again, potentially dangerous for some people if, because he's also not specifying, like, he's saying 1 gallon of water, but he's not taking into consideration that other fluids, you know, you could be drinking other things throughout the day, like coffee and juice or what have you, that would be contributing to your hydration.
You're getting water out.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is like that. Also, that's like, that's a good point that you bring up coffee, because coffee is not necessarily going to dehydrate people.
It's not.
We should do like a whole thing about that.
Yeah.
That people who say like, oh, you're not getting enough water because your coffee, like, you're dehydrating yourself, tell them to actually go take their conversation somewhere else, because they're wrong.
Yeah, you are still, it is still contributing to your
that
fluid.
Amount of caffeine is not going to completely strip you of your,
I agree,
water.
Yeah,
intake.
And then same with foods, like, there's, and especially on something like this, if you're following a specific diet, I don't know, depending on what it is, but, you know, typically healthy diets, whatever, like, people, whatever people think is healthy,
right,
often include eating a lot of vegetables, fruit, whatever, what have you, unless you're doing keto. So those things have water in them too. Like, so you're going to get fluids from that stuff too. So you're drinking a gallon of water plus whatever other fluids you're drinking plus whatever food you're eating that contains water. Like, you could be setting yourself up for, like, danger. It, you know, too much fluid is a bad thing as well.
There's no reason for it.
There's no reason for it. I agree.
I did just want to say one thing before we because I think we're going to like start talking about it from a different perspective. But I really love this line from Taylor Andrews' article on Cosmopolitan. She says, in March 2019, Frizella, who is not a certified trainer, dietitian, or licensed clinical therapist, introduced the concept of 75 hard challenge on his podcast, Real AF, suggesting that it's a way to change your life for the better and lose weight.
That's another thing I have with this is like, why 75 days? On his website, he says, and like,
he said, lose weight. That's not mental toughness.
No, weight loss. Okay, two things. Number one, what I was just about to say is he says on his like website, and I'm sure his podcast and everything like that, like, do these things for 75 days and like, basically, like, this is the amount of time proven to change your like habits entirely or to change your life entirely. And it's like, where, there's nothing backing that up. Where did you get 75 days? And then two, yeah, so weight loss has nothing to do with mental toughness. And that's just a huge diet culture thing. Like, weight loss is all about willpower and sticking to things. And yeah. You know what? Like, if your body is literally telling you to eat more food or to rest or whatever, like, because you come down with a cold or like your body's literally aching or you're starving, you're not going to listen to that because of willpower. Like, that's not like the epitome of health. That's disordered. Right. So that's my problem with this, is that it's not encouraging you whatsoever to work with your body and like honor what your body actually needs. It's just like, do this, stick to this, and you'll be like a huge success. And I don't
and
agree.
That's the thing. That's also like, it's so clever because part of the like, do this, stick to this, is take these progress photos. And of course, people are going to be inclined to share them online. So it's free advertising for his book, for his supplement company. And even after reading all of this, so at the bottom of the Cosmopolitan article, there was a little poll.
Oh, okay. No.
Oh, were you going to talk about that?
No, not the poll. There's something else, but you go first.
There's a little poll that says, will you try this challenge? Even after they'd read all the article. And I don't know how many people responded, but 24% said no, and 76% said they're still interested. So even after reading all, I was so surprised. But that's such a high percentage of people who still wanted to do it.
I don't know. I guess people always, I don't know. I'm not going to pretend to know.
It's so easy to follow a checklist, right? But there's no checklist necessarily for everybody for, like, it's more complicated than something to check off a list.
Yeah.
If you want to, like, have a quote healthy lifestyle, like whatever that means for you.
Yeah, I think
it takes work.
A lot of times people just want to be told what to do and they want everything laid out for them, and that's actually not when real lasting change happens. Real lasting change happens is when you can like build those habits and make those habits from within, and again, step by step, you know, one after the other. But that takes too long, right? And people don't want that. So what I was going to say is that there was this really great sentence or a paragraph at the end of the article, and you probably read it, but it basically was like, he's trying to sell you something. The goal of the 75 hard challenge isn't to improve your mental toughness. It's to motivate you unconsciously to spread his name, his brand, and his supplement company to your friends. And then it says, he's pyramid scheming us, fam.
Fam.
So it's like, it's so true. Like, he, again, he's this like motivational speaker, entrepreneur. Like, he's, you can just tell from reading his website that like, he's all about like, and I don't know how I'm coming across when I say this, but like, he's selling you things. Like, he's all about like, I'm gonna help you improve your life, blah, 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 blah. But he's all like, he's trying to get into your emails and he's trying to like get you to talk about him and all of that stuff, and everything is kind of like, you're like, without knowing, like signing up for his email list, and you're without knowing, like talking about it to your friends, like exactly what it's saying, sharing your progress photos with like hashtag 75 hard on social media. So like, you're everyone participating is really just like, literally without spending money, if you haven't like bought his book or whatever, you're like subconsciously putting money straight into his bank account, straight into his wallet.
Totally.
Just by doing it. Yeah.
The website also, like you were mentioning before, is this like gold mine of really weird claims.
Yeah.
Like one direct quote is, the mental challenges are 100 times greater than the physical changes. Okay, 100 times greater.
No, he literally pulled that from thin air.
I have to say, like, it was a really, really, like, really, really harrowing experience for me to be on that website. I did not enjoy it at all. I don't know if you wanted me to talk a little bit about body image.
I do, yeah.
I was interested in pursuing that a bit further. After reading all the 75 Heart stuff, and I wanted to focus about this because, of course, as we've been saying, 75 Heart is purported to be all about these, like, mental toughness changes, but the progress photos are such a main part of it, like we're saying, and that's full body image, baby. So there's this paper called Relational Body Image, Preliminary Evidence That Body Image Varies Within a Person from One Specific Relationship to Another. So that's kind of a mouthful. Mm. They looked at college women's body image, so through questionnaires, and they found that body image in these college women differed across different relationships. So they felt differently about their bodies in different relationships with other people.
Right.
So for example, like in different friendships. So your body image, for these people anyway, was better when you were with people who you thought were more body accepting. So if you're hanging out with someone who you think is not fat phobic, for example, then you feel better about your body image. Yeah,
that makes sense.
And it's worse when you are with somebody who is, so this is kind of like, I don't know. There's complications to all this, of course. So the body image is worse when you think you are with someone who is relatively thinner than you. So these women, when they, in their relationships with people that they consider to be thinner than themselves, they have worse body image. I think even more importantly and more interestingly, body image was worse when you were in relationships with people who you found to be very preoccupied with their body.
Right.
Okay. So if you're hanging out with somebody who's constantly talking about, let's say, like diets and weight loss, et cetera, like really like talking about their muffin top or whatever all the time, then you have worse body image. So basically, I think that second one about, you know, having worse body image with people who you view as relatively thinner, I don't want people to take that away as like, this is vilifying thin people.
No.
I think what it really is it's an example of diet culture and the fact that we're just conditioned to value thinner bodies.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and unfortunately, it may, at least in this cohort of participants, it made people's body image worse. Mm-hmm. So basically, 75 Hard is a big group of people that show you that they became relatively thinner than they were once before, and that they are very body preoccupied. And on top of that, they're not necessarily body accepting if they're focusing on documenting their transformation.
Yeah.
So it's literally like, seeing this is literally gonna give people bad body image. Like, not only is it just like gonna give people like lack of self-confidence, etc., but if they're not taken by it, but it's also giving, probably going to give people bad body image.
Yeah.
So of course it's all over social media, which is really scary. And we always talk about like cleaning your feed and making sure that, like, I don't know, you're not looking at certain things that are going to be difficult for you to see, or like maybe that are going to affect your body image or your self-confidence. And unfortunately, this is another thing that's going to be out there that's going to be affecting people.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally. I think that constantly, like, seeing, yeah, if you're part of like the 75 Hard community or whatever, or you're like participating in it, you're obviously going to be like checking in on other people that are participating in it as well. So you're seeing all of these other people post transformation photos, or, and like, what if your transformation isn't as drastic as someone else's? Or what if you literally like don't complete it and you're seeing all these other people complete it? Like, you're automatically going to like feel, what is wrong with me? What is wrong with my body? What, you know? And when in reality, like, you know, I'm sure, and there has been, there's people who have completed this 75 Hard. But I don't think that it shows mental toughness. Like, I don't see.
No. Yeah. And this is a good time to remind people about the call to action that we've talked about before, which is, don't be the person. It's very difficult, but if you can try, don't be the person who is preoccupied with their body in your relationships, yeah, because that can bring other people, yeah, down. Don't be the person. And even if you are body preoccupied, try to show that you're trying to not be fat phobic. Mm-hmm. If you do have some fat phobia that maybe like is subconscious or whatever, try to be somebody who's obviously body accepting so that in the relationships you have with other people, they feel safe around, yeah, you, and they don't feel like they have to have body image just by hanging out with you, because maybe they've heard you say something before, like, oh, you know, like, those pants aren't really fitting them right. Mm. Like, they're a little too big for those pants, aren't they? Like, how funny is it that they're so tight? Or, you know, yeah, like, whatever offhand comments that you're making. Oh, like, that person's meal's kind of big. These are things that some people will remember.
Yeah.
And
yep,
it could contribute to worse body image just by hanging out with you. So don't be that person.
I agree. And if you are someone who, you know, you recognize that you have a preoccupation with your body, or you struggle from like poor body image, seek help. Like, you know, find someone to talk to about it, and that can help you work through that and improve that, because it can be a really hard, long battle, body image. And I know that from experience and from clients. It's something worth seeking help for. I just wanted to put that out there.
Totally. And you are valuable, and your body is valuyable regardless of what you think of it.
Yeah,
right,
and
now,
regardless of having trouble with what that, it looks like, or what it can or can't do.
I do want to reach out really quickly to listeners from Utah, Missouri, in Canada. I want to reach out to people from BC and Ontario. Want to reach out to England, Australia, India, Germany, because these are apparently the big hotspots where 75 Hard is really, really popular.
Okay.
So if you're out there in any of those countries or states or provinces, just a big shout out to you. You know, we're here for you, and drop us a line. You know?
Drop us a line. That's your favorite thing to, yeah, say today. Okay. Well, you know what? I think that was a really interesting conversation. I'm glad we had it. I hope that maybe we've enlightened some of you about 75 Hard, and maybe to go in a different direction. If
or take this conversation to your friend that is interested in this.
Yeah. I think bottom line, there are other ways that you can, one, work on your mental toughness, and two, that you can achieve good health and happiness and a balanced lifestyle. It doesn't have to be so
without feeling like you're gonna fail.
And drastic. Exactly. Yeah, without such a fear of failure. Because I know for sure if I did this literally every day, I would just be like, how am I going to fuck up today? Oh God, what? You know what I mean? Like, so on edge about, like, and I don't think that's a way to live. So
I know we usually do a tasty, but Hannah, I do want to ask you.
Oh my God, you're putting me on the spot.
If maybe we can try out a new segment just for this.
Okay,
episode.
Let's do it. You're literally like throwing me a curveball, so I don't know ready? What is, guys. You know what? We did not talk about this before. I don't know what's about to happen. So
this segment is called "Have You Given Up on This Project?" So this is a new segment that we're just trying, maybe today, maybe we'll do it again, maybe we won't, but it's called "Have You Given Up on This Project?" And this is a time when Hannah and I are going to briefly, because we're going to be at an hour and some, going to talk about a time when you had to give up on a project.
Oh God.
Sometimes, you know, for the folks at home, sometimes you feel like you're working towards something and then you hit a wall and you say, I'm actually done here. Like, I was trying to pursue this goal, and I'm not only am I not going to go another way, but we're going to put a stop to this right now. So what will go down in history as the Broadway show called The Fiverr Debacle.
Oh my God.
is something that Hannah and I have experienced. And I don't know, Hannah, I thought the quickest way would be maybe to act it out. Just very quickly to act it out.
Okay.
And because I was having direct conversations with the main antagonist of the Fiverr debacle. I think I'll play myself in the play. And
you want me to?
Maybe.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and maybe you can play the antagonist, whose name, again, famously is
You're
Susan.
Really putting me on the spot here. I don't know what you're about to say to me and what I have to say back. Okay.
So basically, just everyone imagine, like, eyes closed. So you open on a scene where there's a boy, which is me, who is on the computer talking to somebody, trying to get them to make some graphics for you. And you've paid them a lot of money, and you think that they're really good at graphic design.
Can we just give them a... in case you guys don't know what Fiverr is, I just feel like what if people don't know what it is, and they're like, what is that? So Fiverr is a platform or a website online where you can basically hire freelancers to complete projects for you, whether it's like graphic design or...
Right.
I don't know.
Voiceover work.
Sure. Web design, whatever. Like, you can hire people on Fiverr to do tasks or projects for you. Okay, go.
So we're opening up on a scene in the middle of the Fiverr debacle. This is probably like act three, I would say. This is the end of the play. And, you know, lights are dim. Boy is at computer. Stage directions. Boy goes to computer. And then boy cries at computer. Stage directions, boy cries at computer. Okay, so I'm boy, and I'm talking to the antagonist, Susan. Should we bleep that out?
I think we can say Susan.
Okay. So boy talks to Susan. Susan, we were really excited to work with you for this graphic design. But the initial art that you send us has us questioning, you know, is your portfolio actually yours? Did you design all of the art that's on your profile? Because we thought you were a really talented artist, and we were ready to invest a lot of money into getting graphic design from you, Susan.
Susan.
Yeah, so is that your art?
Okay, wait, I need to cut for a second, Tara, because I don't even know what she said.
Oh, don't worry about doing it properly.
No, I want to actually look at our text and see. I'll edit this out.
And basically, for, well, even you keep this in, I think. We're real, we're raw. And I just want people to know it would be stage direction. Susan, in quotations, is a shadow behind a screen. You don't actually ever see the antagonist. You don't know what they look like, whether their name is actually Susan. You don't know their identity. You don't really know anything about the antagonist.
Right.
So stage directions, light shines onto a frosted screen, and you see a human form behind the screen.
Oh, my God. This is so traumatic. Okay, what did you say? I can't even remember what you asked.
So boy says, Susan, did you design all of the art on your profile? Because we thought you were really talented, but... the art that you sent us, really, it's not good. So are you a fraud?
No, I'm not a fraud. These are all my original designs by me and my expert team.
Oh, okay, Susan. Actually, I don't believe you, and you've taken a lot of my money. So we're actually going to request a refund. Boy, stage directions, boy continues to cry.
Now Susan gets mad. Okay, here it is. Fine. Take your money back. I don't know why you did this.
Stage directions, spotlight on boy, ominous music, and then voiceover by narrator. Boy finds out that when you get a refund off Fiverr, you don't actually get your money back. You just get credit to use on Fiverr, where everyone is a scam artist and no one knows how to do graphic design.
Seriously.
End scene. And then everyone does standing ovation.
Yeah. You know what, you guys? We had quite the experience this week. Maybe write into us and tell us if you've had an experience with Fiverr and how that went. Because I mean,
with people, yeah, they saw the play. So they, yeah.
They know everything with my wonderful acting. We were looking to get some graphic design done for the pod. you know, we want some rebranding. We want to update our shit.
And we weren't skimping. You can pay $5 for stuff, but no,
we literally overpaid for the premium this person. We love their art that they were displaying on their portfolio as their own. And we were like,
we were not trying to be cheap. No. We're all about fair compensation.
We were like, we love this. We're going to pay them more than like the premium package that they offer. Yep. Like we want,
because we really want good work from them. Yeah. And we know they can do it based on their profile.
And I kid you not, what we got back was like,
it wasn't even Canva.
No,
it
wasn't, they didn't even use Canva. Like,
it was Windows 2000.
We could have done far greater with like,
I mean, we have done. That's the thing, is like our art is fine. I mean, it was clearly like made by us and not by someone who like does professional graphic design, but it was miles ahead of what Stage Directions Susan is a Shadow.
Yeah, so we're kind of convinced that Fiverr is literally a scam, and you know, our chances of Fiverr sponsoring the podcast are over now. But
I know, if Fiverr wants to DM us and send us information to a real artist on there who can use our credit,
yeah, so we're convinced that Fiverr is literally young millennials who know that like older people like have no clue how to do graphic design and will hire anyone.
They're taking advantage of computer illiterate.
Seriously,
people.
So, anyways, we're convinced that the person we hired was just like plastering podcast art and logos and things like that on their portfolio that was not theirs, because the work,
there was no way they made it.
No, the work that we got back was like horrible,
awful.
Yeah. So anyways, that was our week. And if you know any good graphic designers that can help us out with some cover art and things like that.
Are you
like
a graphic designer?
Hit us up. Yeah.
Are you a graphic designer?
We'd love to hear. Please. If you have made it this far on this episode.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for listening. We're so happy to be back with you. Let us know what you thought about this episode and what you think about 75 Hard. Chat with us on Instagram. Leave us a 5-star rating and a review, and we'll read it live on the pod.
We will read it. I can read now. That's new in season 3. I can read. So I'm going to be doing a lot more reading this time.
Yeah, you should be reading 10 pages of a nonfiction book every day.
Here.
Okay, we'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye.